This is part two of Be More AI Aware with Ian Gotts. If you haven't yet, watch part one now.
So the thing we're discovering most here is it actually, whilst the large language models are really powerful, it's really about prompting. It's the way you ask the questions. And I wrote a blog a couple of days ago. Actually, let's put it in the comments. We'll put a link to the blog. But the blog says, okay, imagine you're in front of, I know, your hero, whether it's Mark Benioff or Sam Altman or Ryan Reynolds or Taylor Swift or whoever it is, whoever your hero is.
Yeah.
And you've got 5 minutes with them. What question would you ask? What questions do you really want to know the answers for? Like, how does Mark think about acquisitions? Or how does Mark look at the future? Not really happy about being a trailblazer. What do you think? But you've got 5 minutes. And I think that's the way we should think about prompting. Think about those prompts and really refine those and make sure that you've stored them so you can reuse them. So rather than saying, what do you know? Tell me about flows. You may have some very specific questions or the way you format those prompts, and you've refined them based on the answers you want. And I think we need to get into the idea of thinking of a prompt as a valuable asset that you store, refine, reuse, rather than typing it all in from first principles all the time. And that the power of these large language models is actually in the prompts. I'd like you to create me a validation rule on object, fill in the brackets, that is going to do it's going to take field, fill in the brackets, with a set of conditions which are fill in the brackets. So you've now got a prompt, which is a prompt template, which I can reuse. Every time I want to go and do a validation rule, I don't have to type in, please could you create me a validation rule, and all those intermediary words. All you're doing is you're now filling in the gaps, copy paste, now you've got the answer. And over time you might go, okay, how do I want that validation produced? So part of that prompt will be, please give it back to me in this format. Please give me some documentation that I can put with the validation rule. Why not get it? It knows what it just created. But again, you think about the way you refine those instructions or that prompt, because that's essentially what the instructions are, and then store it. So every time you create a validation rule, you go copy, insert changes, paste into GPT, get the answer back out. And that could be in the free version of GPT. It's not the paid version. It gives you the answer back out, and it's going to give you the validation rule, but maybe the documentation you paste in. So there's an example of a prompt which is way more than tell me about, but actually do some work for me. So think in the mindset of, I've got this helper, I've got this intern who knows how to write validation rules but doesn't know what I want to write a validation rule about. How would you instruct them? If you just said, tell me about validation rules, they're going to come back and go, boom.
Yeah.
I want to write the validation rule. I need to be quite explicit about what that is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Now, and that's about prompt. Think of prompts as prompt templates, which we reuse. And some of the ones our product management team, some of those prompt templates are 300-400 words.
Yeah.
They're quite detailed. That's why we store them and then reuse them.
Yeah. Okay. Awesome. I think that's great advice there. Is there anything else in terms of tips, advice you would give to somebody who's perhaps looking to improve their productivity with the help of AI? Anything else apart from, I guess, great prompts that kind of comes to mind there?
Well, okay. So let's take you step by step through what the first is. Get to grips with what ChatGPT can do. So start playing with that if you haven't done. Okay. Secondly, then start looking at specific use cases, going, okay, well, where could this be used? And this is the time to start talking to other colleagues, other people in the ecosystem. What have you found that works? So don't sit in your own silo going, I need to do this on my own. There are people like a year ahead of you. It's nearly a year since GPT's been out. We've been playing with prompts for over a year. So there are people ahead of you. And there's a great video by Tom Hoffman that's on the Trailblazer admin YouTube channel about prompts, which will get you thinking about the sorts of prompts you could create. So then start thinking about working with other people and going, okay, what are you using it for? So use those use cases. Then start thinking about prompts and start thinking about how you refine them so you get better and better answers. I think there's at times people go, oh, I put it in there. It kind of didn't give me what I expected. That's on you. That's not on it. You didn't ask the question. Okay. If the intern comes back and goes, I've written the validation rule, you go, well, that's the wrong object. You didn't ask me for an object. it's on you asking the questions. Mm. And I think we need to spend more time, get good at refining those prompts. Some of the prompts we've taken 3 days to refine. Go, wow. But that's going to get used thousands of times. The ones that we've written, say, for creating user stories off the back of a process map, that's going to get used tens of thousands of times. So it's worth spending the effort to really get it so it's really good. And again, thinking about how many times do you create a new object? How many times do you create a new validation rule? How many times do you fill in the gap? If we're going to do those repeatedly, let's build those prompts so we can reuse them. So those three steps. Get to understand GPT, work with your colleagues to work out what you think the use cases are, then start getting better and better at refining those prompts.
Appreciate that it's rapidly changing. It hasn't been around for too long either. But if you were to start out on your journey of kind of using GPT again, over again, is there anything that you would do differently?
That's a great question. to be honest, there were so many things. We had no idea where it was going. So if we'd known how far it's gone in such a short period of time, internally, we probably wouldn't have built as many AI capabilities inside Elements because they're now being replaced by some of the open AI capabilities. So that's from a development perspective. But you can't sit there and wait and go, well, actually, maybe this will get built. That's just...
Yeah.
It's called technical debt. You've got to get on and do stuff, and we've got to accept that some things, fine, we built it, we're going to throw it away. But also some of the things that have just come out with OpenAI's release, what we had in the roadmap for 12 months because of the effort to take is going to be available in 6 weeks. So we've also benefited massively. So let me give you an example. We've been playing around with the concept of trying to take either a sketch, a screenshot of a process diagram, or a description of a process, and get AI to draw it. We had to go about 5 years ago, and AI the tools weren't there, and it was okay, but it wasn't good enough of the time to make it worth doing.
Yeah.
So there's this sort of, unless it's good enough times, people go, I'm not going to bother, I'll do it myself. Okay? We had another go about 6 months ago, and it still wasn't good enough. Now it is. We can give it an audio transcript, turn it into text. It listens to the text. It then draws the process diagram out in front of you as you get working. Think of that productivity gain for a consultant who's had a discovery call, or a BA or an admin who's have a conversation with a customer or their end users, and it can then draw out the process maps. You can then refine the process maps and then hit the button, and it turns into user stories. Think of the productivity gains associated with that. And then the last step is, because we know the org, it can look at the user story and it can work out what metadata you could use to support that user story.
Mm-hmm.
So look through the tens or hundreds of thousands of metadata items, go, you could reuse that flow. Have you thought about doing that?
Yeah.
Well, I never. So you asked the question, what would I do again? Some of the things you've just got to commit and go, we're going to build with what we can see and what the infrastructure is there. We're not going to sit on our hands and wait. I don't regret us jumping in and really understanding how to work with the GPTs. I think we would have operationalized prompting inside the company more quickly. At the moment, it was ad hoc to start with. Different pockets of people were creating prompts. Yeah. I would have made sure we had a central database and we operationalized that a lot faster, so we're all learning from it. I don't think I'd appreciated that it probably every person in the organization, whether in finance, marketing, sales, customer success, development, everybody can benefit from it. We assumed when we first started, it'll be a few developers. And we'll have some prompt engineers. These prompt engineers are going to do it. No, everybody's doing prompting. So again, I hadn't appreciated how widespread this is going to be.
I think that's good advice. And ultimately, it is still changing, right? There are still new things coming out. I don't know, GPT, how often that even brings out new features and releases. It's quite regular, right?
Oh, absolutely. And I think a couple of weeks ago, the release that came out, there were things which we all expect to be in the roadmap in 6-12 months had already appeared. So the speed this is going is huge.
Yeah.
And it's not just in, say, OpenAI. There are companies now which will listen to someone's audio, replicate your tone of voice. You could then give it text and it would then read out So we I could record you. If I wanted my little Tom Bassett, I could then record, get a minute two of your audio, put it into 11 labs, then give it some text and say, can you read this out sounding like Tom Bassett? Amazing. They've just had a new release, which is you can now speak into it in your voice, the intonation that you want. So not only is it you reading the words, it's reading out the words the way I want you to read it. Wow. Some of the stuff that's now being produced is amazing. And again, I could see it being used for the wrong reasons, criminal reasons. But hey, maybe you could, like, let's take a Salesforce example. I mean, no one ever reads the documentation or no one ever reads the help. Why don't we record it in, I know, your voice, but rather than having to record it, you simply go, you give it to Product X, it turns that text into an audio file. You've now got audio help associated with every object.
Yeah.
I think the thing about GPT is it's growing so fast. Every time the new stuff comes out, the possibilities get bigger and bigger and bigger. Now, that's great, but lots of people are still at step one and going, okay, how do I use this to manage my org better? How do I use this inside Salesforce? And we haven't really talked about that, but if we think about the Einstein platform, they built the prompt studio, so you can manage those prompt templates inside Salesforce for managing Salesforce data. And they've built a trust layer, so the security issues are less of a concern because it's sitting between your Salesforce org and the large language models and actually making sure that no data gets passed and it gets encrypted and changed on the way past and changed on the way back. So I've spent a lot of time talking about how you'd use GPT to support your job, which is different from how you'd use the GPT capabilities inside Salesforce to go and do some clever things with your customer data. That's where the Einstein platform comes in, Prompt Studio, the trust layer, and so on. And you can find lots of videos online about what, say, a sales or a service example. And again, very early stages, there's so much more it can do.
Yeah. Exactly. And I think there's more to come there as well in terms of, you said sales, service. I think there's a big opportunity for there to be kind of more examples on what Salesforce describes as platform, which is kind of things like flow. And maybe I'd love to see some like duplicate detection abilities there as well. I would see that as a platform thing rather than a sales service thing. What do you think about that?
Yes. Okay. So, the sales and services is about what I'm doing with customer data. When you talked about duplication flow, we're back into the world of how the tools to support us managing Salesforce better as admins. So I really want to keep them as separate buckets, which is what's the capability like? Almost like I've added a new page layout or I've added a new flow. That's the GPT capabilities versus these are the tools to help me manage Salesforce better. And I think you're right. Both of them are accelerating the things that they're now doing. And it's taken them a while to get going, quite reasonably, because they actually wanted to make sure the platform was there. In software building terms, if you've got the platform and the building blocks, suddenly once those are in, you can start to do a ton of things really quickly. But getting that core layer in properly, getting that trust layer, that takes a while to get that established, make sure it works. Now they've got that in place. Again, I can see lots of different examples of places where they'll pre-build prompts and say, okay, have you thought about you? We've looked at your data. Have you thought about using these prompts in this place? So using the AI to actually coach you into where it can be used best. The possibilities are endless. But again, we got to get the basics locked in. And I think the purpose of this podcast is trying to get people to understand the basics and what they can do to get started.
Is there any kind of top tips, or you mentioned some great resources already on how people can kind of get up to date with what's out there and start thinking in a way where they're engineering prompts. Are there any other resources out there that you think are particularly helpful for those kind of at the beginner or intermediate level?
Well, I talked about this idea of custom GPTs, where people out there in the ecosystem, they've taken their knowledge and they've turned it into a GPT. I created a little list, like a website, of all the Salesforce related to GPTs, and it's called GPT Cloud, so GEEPEE.cloud. So there's a There's a database there. And every time we hear of another Salesforce-rated custom GPT that you could use, it's there. But with all little IT projects, the scope creep kicked in. And now it's a place where it's not just a listing of those GPTs, but also it's a way of managing all the prompts. Because I talked about the importance of managing prompts. So now on that platform, you can manage prompts. And it could be for the custom GPTs, or it could be for your own private GPTs, or just the prompts that you use for standard OpenAI's chat. So I'd go to gpt.cloud. And again, if you're here listening and you've already got, you've built a custom one and you want it listed, go and log in and you can go and create your own listing. So we're trying to make that a resource so people can go back and see what other people have done and to get inspired.
Yeah, and I think that's great. The Salesforce community definitely has a feeling of togetherness and helping each other. So I think that's a really great way for people to get inspired and use an idea that somebody else has already kind of followed through on to help them as well.
Yeah, and I think I said at the beginning, we all think everyone's talking about this, but they're kind of not. Again, that list of the people who are creating custom GPTs, you know that they're already doing things. So we're almost building a community there of people who we know are thinking about it. Another resource of is Mark Good with AI Force Training. Mm-hmm. So he's, again, another voice in the marketplace, spending a lot of time thinking about GPT. Another one is Vernon Keenan, who is an industry analyst, but again, Salesforce industry analyst ran DevOps, but is now spending a lot of time talking about AI. And he's got a website workingwithai.com. So okay. Again, there are people out there who are sort of really have been deeply engaged in AI specific to the Salesforce ecosystem. And again, we should be leaning on those.
Yeah, definitely. Because ultimately, if we work together, we can achieve better things quicker and perhaps solve problems that we didn't even realize we had, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we're now at a stage where my first inclination when I've got a problem, I go, I wonder if it can do that. I wonder if it could actually build, I wonder if GPT could do that. So mm-hmm. I've given, you know, a list of a bunch of unformatted names and emails. Can you put those, can you sort those out and put them, and clean them up into three columns? Wow, it did that. I've just been given this contract. Can you summarize what the key clauses are? So when you start all those sort of, not menial, but those tasks, which are almost administrative tasks, nothing related to work, but the band that I play in, we needed to buy an interface to connect so we play backing tracks through the soundboard. And I was given, someone suggested three different products. So I said, can you look at these three products and then build me a table of the different features and which ones are most relevant based on this use case?
Yeah.
Which it did. It went to the websites, it built a table, it looked at the different features, built me a table, came back with some recommendations. Whether those recommendations are correct doesn't matter. It did all the hard work assembling it. It was one of those, I could have done all the work. But I went, well, hang on, if I just give it three websites and the links to the three products I'm looking at and ask me to compare them, what's it going to come up with? It did a great job. And I think that's the mindset, which is, oh, I wonder if it could do that. And don't go, oh, I didn't do a very good job first time. Go, okay, well, maybe if I instructed it better. Make sure you give it a couple of goes to go, okay, how can I instruct it better? So one top tip.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes people go, I ask the question and you go, no, can you have another go at that? Oh, that wasn't quite right. Can you have another go at that? Can you have another go at that? Can you have another go at that? What it's doing, every time you're doing it, it's taking more and more of that conversation and giving it to GPT and then coming back. Mm-hmm. So what's happening is, first of all, you might bump into a token limit. So you've run out of tokens. So it starts to summarize that early question. And that's why sometimes the results seem to be getting worse and worse and worse. Okay.
Yeah,
I think if you've got to the second or third time where you're going, no, that's not quite right, can you have another go at it? Start again and refine the prompt. Because actually constantly just asking and asking and asking and asking means that it's drifting. It's getting the answers are getting worse and worse and worse. So if you're onto your third question going, oh, no, that's not what I meant, can you do this? Look at the prompts you've done, construct a way better one, start again and give it that to work on. And I think you'll end up with better answers.
Okay. All right. I think that's great. And kind of while you were talking about that, I was kind of thinking about a ship floating further and further away from the land. And yeah, I think that really resonated with me. So thanks for that. In terms of time, we do kind of have to bring this session to a close now. But before we do go, is there a way for people to connect with you and your content in addition to all of the other great resources that you've already mentioned?
Well, okay. First of all, a lot of the content that we've created, books I've written, blogs that I've written, events I've presented at, a lot of those are encapsulated in some of these custom GPTs. So I've built a number of custom GPTs. So there's one called Ask Ian Anything, which is, I guess, quite... But I was playing with it to see what it came up with. But there's also, there are very specific ones, process mapping, org analysis, org discovery. So a lot of that knowledge is, and you'll find those GPTs in gpt.cloud. But uh-huh. The other one is just ping me. I'm on LinkedIn /IanGotts or Ian@elements.cloud.
Okay. All right. Perfect. Well, thanks again for your time. And hopefully when this goes out, it will inspire people to be more aware of AI. So thanks again.
Thank you so much, Tom.
Thanks for tuning in to Be More with Tom Bassett. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and leave any feedback in the comments.